Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, Time Management and the High I, part 2 of 2.
The questions that this cast answers are, what are High I's weaknesses when it comes to time management? What can a High I do to mitigate their weaknesses? And how can High I's improve their time management skills?
If you want answers to these questions or more, keep listening.
We are thrilled to introduce our Pathways to Professional Excellence, a new license structure tailored to your career needs. Whether you're looking to grow your career, manage teams, or lead at the executive level, we have the perfect solution for you. Career tools for career development, manager tools for effective team management, and executive tools for strategic leadership. And we've stuffed each license full of the podcasts, tools, and products you'll need to be successful in each stage of your career, plus some exciting new features we've never offered before at Manager Tools. Secure an annual personal license before our official launch on September 10th, and you'll receive a complimentary upgrade to Executive Tools. We've been adding value to your license for years, and making this purchase now at our current price will lock in significant savings. So don't miss your chance to invest in your professional future at an unbelievable value. Your career growth awaits. Let's embark on this journey together.
So let's talk about staying organized. High I's are big picture people who not only don't retain or notice the details, but also don't particularly care that they're not good at the details. Again, details, schmetails. Also, I've heard High I's say, if you have the right people, the work does itself. That's not true. People do the work, but they're more worried about the people involved. So they are the style that's most likely to arrive at the airport for a flight entirely on the wrong day. High I's are the ones that they've convinced those mathematicians that rounding up should be a thing because really 4.56 is 5, right? Really? It's the same number.
Yeah, I'm convinced of that. Like rounding up was never a thing until High I's got involved.
It's so much easier to add fives than 4.56.
Yeah, right?
I'm here for it. Well, now, to prevent the errors like arriving at the airport on the wrong day, you can apply the 2-minute rule to calendaring. If it'll take you less than 2 minutes to put it on your calendar, and let's face it, High I's, you're the style that's most likely to have their phones already in your hands, then just put it on your calendar right now. It's already there. Just do it, right? Get out of your chat and just do it. I know you're talking to all those people. And while you're adding it to the calendar, add those reminders or alerts so you don't forget. If you're standing next to a High C, if you happen to be standing next to one, they can help you adjust those settings so it automatically does it every single time. And I know from personal experience that any airline app will send you notifications about your flight, and it is a game changer. So just allow those notifications. I know you want to say don't allow, just allow them, and then it really keeps you on track for flights. Download the airline apps. That will help too, but your High C's know how to do all those cool notifications for you.
I thought you were going to say any 12-year-old, which is also true. Any 12-year-old knows how to do those settings too.
I think 8. Now we're at like 8 years old. My nephew sure could help me with all my notifications. And I don't think I'm old, but yeah, very helpful. See, maybe I'm like 10 years behind. Like, oh, the app can do it. Maybe just get a 12-year-old. Yeah. They're great.
And while it's derided as being old-fashioned, printing information is also often helpful when you need to review it. And it's August the 7th, 2024, and 2 weeks ago, the CrowdStrike thing happened. If it's now when you're listening, 2026, you have no idea what that meant. But basically, everything went down and airlines couldn't fly, and the people that could fly were the people that could prove that they were on a flight, and they were the people that had it on a piece of paper. So there is use for paper, yeah, and printouts.
The airline app was not helpful that day.
No, it wasn't useful for anyone. And there were pictures of people at flight counters with whiteboards writing people's names on the whiteboards. So who knew that whiteboards would come back into fashion? But even though you might think it's old-fashioned, printing things. People say to me now, I don't have a printer at home. I'm like, I still have two. I don't know what's like. I'm not a high eye, obviously. But yes, printing things is still useful.
Also, going to the airport, you can just immediately go and print out your ticket.
You can.
Because sometimes your phone freezes and it's awkward when you're in line. I recently traveled with some extended family. I was like, we're just printing out tickets because I can't deal with all your phones because I'm not 12 and I don't know how.
If I'm standing in line and I've got the phone thing with ready to scan, the moment I step up, it goes to sleep and I have to put my number in every time. So I'd rather have the piece of paper.
Have the notifications to remind you to take out your piece of paper. That's super. And when talking about from the beginning to the end of a project, high eyes can inadvertently hinder their own progress. So underestimating the time needed and task complexity, planning insufficiently, overlooking important details, prioritizing poorly, and procrastinating on less exciting work, missing early deadlines, providing inaccurate detail when delegating, and not finishing work properly. The same patterns applies to their daily tasks. So high eyes tend to start really well and then they trail off. So they're really good at beginning a lot of projects, right? And getting people involved. And when it starts to get to those details, they realize that there's a lot more involved and that it won't just take a week, that it'll take 6 months. And then they just kind of, well, it'll happen. So.
And they're really good at things that they're supposed to do on Monday, but things that they're supposed to do on Thursday, not so good. Because they start the week well, but they trail off towards the end of the week. And it's not that they're bad people or poor professionals or that they don't want to do a good job. It's just that their natural tendency is to be interested in the beginning. If you really wanted to employ a high eye in a good way, you'd put them at the beginning of projects and the end of projects, and you wouldn't try to make them do the middle of a project. But unfortunately, most of us have to do the middle bit that's boring.
Yeah, because high eyes are really good at getting people motivated to get going on things, start things. This is very exciting. Let's do this. Encouragement. And then they're really good at celebrating because we did it, like anything with the team. Like, they're so good. So the beginning and the end, it totally makes sense. And to rally the troops, they are so good at it. Just the middle part, we just need a little support. Now, there are mundane and the routine tasks that have to be done, especially in these large organizations that cannot be delegated to the floor. Things like the expenses, security badges, and upgrading software are boring. Let's be honest. I don't think anyone think that's very exciting work. Okay, there might be one profile. It's fine. They restrict time for socializing, and so the high eyes tend to procrastinate them, assuming that there will be no consequences, or if there are, the impact's going to be small. So again, really good at the beginning, really good at the end, but all that boring stuff in the middle that it doesn't really involve people, it's just tomorrow Amanda's problem is my favorite saying. You still have to get those done. You can't just not do them because there are consequences. And sometimes high eyes just don't see the long game with all of those more mundane, repetitive tasks that, well, I did it today. Why do I have to do it again tomorrow? I'll just do it on Thursday. Because Friday's for free lunch Fridays, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Thursday is the same as Friday. And Friday close of business is the same as Monday morning at 9 o'clock, right? And you can keep doing that. And the little tasks mount up until dealing with it takes a really long time. And when dealing with it means that you've got some request from HR that says you have to deal with it now. Now you're dealing with it on someone else's timescale and someone else's timetable when you wanted to go do something else. Like, there's some exciting meeting going on, or there's some, like, everybody's going to lunch and you've got to do this thing for HR. Like, that's no fun. So if you do it little and often, and you do it when you want to do it, then you don't have to miss out on the exciting lunch that everybody else is going to do.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on the team bonding part, because that's what we live for, right? That's what high eyes live for. Now, to effectively manage these routine tasks, you can create a regular daily time slot for handling these. Just put it in that calendar on your phone, just at a time, right? With those notifications. and implement daily and weekly checklists that can help streamline these processes, ensuring that these routine tasks don't start to add up and then become overwhelming. So taking that quick 5 minutes up front to do these daily things will save you time and you won't miss out on those experiences later. So let's use the language of gameplay. Viewing these tasks as basically side quests to efficiently be completed rather than these annoying random encounters that slow down your main mission minimizes the disruption to your gameplay, right? Side quests, not distractions. And by swiftly clearing these smaller objectives, you can unlock more time and energy for the epic boss battles and your main storyline quests that truly matter in your game life.
Yes. Like nobody said boring things at work had to be called boring names. I have a fairly regular interaction with somebody who, I don't know how she does it. She has this like random prize generator somewhere on the internet. And she puts in her task list, I think, and it gives her, when you've completed this task list for this hour, she gets a prize. And like, she's like the queen of cucumber leaves and, I don't know, sprout fields or something. They're like really long and they're always really fancy. And I don't know how she does it, but it's a real high eye thing. And she apparently doesn't think work should be boring.
It should be the best day ever.
Exactly.
Wow. Would you believe it's September already? The students are back in action and professionals are gearing up to execute Q4 planning. Well, hesitate no further. We can deliver training to your organization and teams this year. It's not too late. Take advantage of the huge cost savings involved with having us come to you to deliver training. We'll work with 20 to 30 of your managers at a location of your choosing, which brings with it significant cost and time savings. Contact Maggie for details and pricing to ensure that you make the right decision for you, your team, and your organization. Email her today at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Okay, next, prioritize. High eyes struggle to prioritize because they are drawn to the newest, brightest, shiny thing, and they leave whatever the last bauble was in the dust. And of course, their natural people focus means that they can also be easily distracted by whatever someone else is talking about, as long as it sounds like a fun discussion. Like the worst thing is they're in a cubicle and they can hear another discussion about something exciting and they're trying to focus. There's no focus happening. They're standing up and going and talking to them.
Or texting them.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
And so they end up jumping from task to task based on what's most engaging at the moment rather than what's most important based on what they're trying to do to be successful.
Yeah, and they can struggle to distinguish between urgent and important because their optimism and desire to please others can result in treating every request as equally important rather than treating critical requests with more urgency than non-critical ones. This leads, of course, to increased stress, missed deadlines, and incomplete deadlines. So when trying to consider what is urgent versus non-urgent, sometimes it's more about the people involved. And this kind of comes down to relationships, right? If you have a really good relationship, you're like, oh, this is more urgent because these are my people. And that's not always true. So really being able to think critically about what tasks need to be done, what deadlines are coming up, is a struggle for high eyes because it tends to be more about the people than the deadlines. So one strategy that high eyes can use to great effect to figure out, to kind of quiet down all the noise, is going to be turning off all those various notifications and prevent their email from bringing up new messages when they're working on a specific important item. Now, I know we just talked about having notifications to keep you on track. So stick with me here. Yes, have things to help you remember where you are at and when you need time to focus because you have figured out that that deadline is coming up, that that is now an urgent task. This is when you turn everything to do not disturb. And I know all those 12-year-olds that know how to work your phone also know how to do that too.
Yes.
There's quick and easy ways that you can set it. Say, I'm going to have a do not disturb for 30 minutes so you can focus once you figure out what those tasks are. So this will prevent you from being distracted by all those new items. And if you find yourself really distractible, there are even more apps that can help you with focus, trying to figure out the focus times. But putting it on your calendar as a focus time that you're going to shut off everything and do not disturb, because we all know, even if you're focused at your computer and your message pops up in the corner, you're like, oh, people, it happens every time. So do not disturb, put things on no notifications for small chunks of time so you can focus is a very easy way to help get those urgent things with all those deadlines that we need to get done quickly.
And we talked about the Eisenhower matrix earlier, and that's another way of working out prioritization. Which are the tasks which are not urgent and important? Those are the tasks that are the ones that you want to be working on. And it helps you to work further ahead because the tasks that are urgent are already on fire. It's the ones that are not urgent. If you work on those, they will never catch fire. So that's why you want to be working in that quadrant. So the last one is go slow to go fast. So like high Ds, because they're assertive, high Is need to move fast and take action. And that leads to them missing important information. That's why they go to the airport on the wrong day, because they read whatever they're reading. They read the email and they skip over the date and they think it says Thursday the 5th and it actually says Wednesday the 2nd or whatever.
Or it's a red eye.
Or it's a red eye. Yes. Yeah.
Gets you every time.
Mm-hmm. So they misread emails. So they give the wrong answer or they address an entirely different question. Or they delete emails that they think are unimportant, only to find that they need them later. And in meetings, their desire to get to the end of the meeting stuff, the task stuff, as quickly as possible so they can get back to the chatting stuff, means that they don't take good notes and they don't ask enough questions. And so then they end up working on the wrong solutions or they develop products that don't answer whatever it was that the customer needed. Although they're best friends with the person they were in a meeting with, they just don't deliver what they needed.
They're probably friends with everyone in that meeting. They're so good at having those relationships. Now, the solution to these problems is to slow down, read thoroughly, listen properly, take comprehensive notes, and ask enough questions. Given that this is definitely easier said than done, here are some strategies to help you achieve it. Read and answer emails during a specific time set aside to do so, not while you're multitasking or in the moments between meetings. So again, that do not disturb time, have email on your calendar so you can focus on it, that you're not doing it at stoplights as you're walking down the hall in the middle of those conversations because someone mentioned email and you're like, oh yeah, I haven't checked that in a while. Mm-hmm. Have it at regular scheduled time so you can just focus on reading those thoroughly.
And use schedule send so that you send your emails at the end of that session so that while you're sending out emails, people aren't replying, because otherwise you start replying to the replies that you've just got in. You never get through the inbox. It's my secret. So list out questions you need answered before a meeting and make sure that you get the answers to all those questions. And if the meeting is part of a repeating project, use a template to make sure you're reminded of all of the answers you need. And even if you think, oh, I've done this 1,000 times, or, oh, I don't need that question, ask it anyway, because your tendency is to skip over things. So your brain is probably telling you, you don't need this when you do.
When it comes to notes, handwrite them. This forces you to slow down, forces you to focus on what is being said. You really can't multitask when you're handwriting anything. So if you know you're sitting in an important meeting that you need to have all of that information, write it down. That's the best way to listen. And if you don't trust what I'm saying, there are numerous studies that show that handwritten notes are more effective.
And you can have the best notebook and pen in the room. I bet nobody's got a notebook like you. Yeah. ask colleagues to read important documents and look for errors. If you can't see it, then ask someone else to read it for you. I would volunteer Amanda for you, but she reads all of my documents and she's busy. So find someone else. High C's are good at it. High S's are good at it too, because you ask them and they say yes.
And give yourself time to put tasks aside once you've completed them and before you have to submit them. Even if you can only leave them for an hour, looking at them fresh may help you see errors. So schedule in extra time to leave it. Don't push it up against a deadline and have to submit without being able to rethink about it, relook at it. Just a glance over can really help catch mistakes or give you insight that you didn't even know you had or needed if you just submit it once you're done because you're on a crunch deadline. So make sure you plan ahead for that.
And the high eyes can leverage your social nature and enthusiasm to go slow, to go fast in a way that the high Ds can't. So instead of rushing headlong into tasks, you can benefit by taking the time to build relationships with project members. Even if it's a project that you're working on alone, build a brain trust of colleagues who have knowledge that will be helpful, meaning that you will have to explain what you're doing several times, meaning you will have to think about the steps of the project and you'll have a clearer idea of what you actually have to do rather than that kind of fuzzy, it'll be awesome, which is what you have when you first start a task. And then you can use those relationships and have them as check-ins so that as you progress through that project, you are making sure that you are actually progressing through the project and you haven't gone off on a tangent or just abandoned it altogether, especially if your brain trust is a high S or a high C, because they will ask you, how's it going? And you will have to answer. And then that way you're turning prioritization into a collaborative and social activity. It's much more fun and it's much more likely to be successful.
Being a high I is not a strength or a weakness any more than a high D, a high S, or a high C is. All that label means is that we have a set of natural behaviors that may or may not support our effectiveness in specific situations. So we can change those behaviors anytime we like. Using our time effectively means we get more prizes, and if that means acting like some of the other styles sometimes, it's worth it.
More prizes, always good for a high I. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.